Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. It's really a pleasure, a joy to have you with us this evening. I've certainly looked forward to this. I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank all of you all for your continued support over the last several years that I've been on the air. It's been, we're coming up on our 8th year on the air. With the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and I want to just thank all of my supporters, those of you all that have constantly sent in your comments or your thoughts, anything regarding the show, and I just want to thank you for all of your support and love that you've shown to me over these last several years. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and I want to, after coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday, I want to go ahead and extend a special thanks to all of you all out there by saying I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving for those of you all that celebrate. And those that don't, I just hope that you had a wonderful day. And to me, every day is Thanksgiving. That's how I look at it. Every day is Thanksgiving. It's another day to give thanks. And I'm just so excited about that. So I want to go ahead at this gesture and bring in my co-host, Miss Jay, and I want to see how things have been going with her over the Thanksgiving holiday and welcome her back as well. Miss Jay, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I trust you are as well, and I'm so happy to have you as part of my co-host each week and making the sacrifice to come on and spend an hour of your time with all of us out here. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Well, tell me how your Thanksgiving went. I would love to hear that.
My Thanksgiving went really well. I found out that one of my students was homeless. So I invited him and his family over for Thanksgiving. So they ate. Oh. We had some good food, some good music. Watch the game, you know, and I was able to spend it with my family and my friends. I got to see all my friends from college that came back down. So it was good. It was fun.
That's great. I'm very happy to hear that. Let me ask you, what now? What's in store for the young man who's homeless? What's in store for that?
I actually started a GoFundMe because there's 9 homeless families at my school. I found this out 2 weeks ago on the Thursday before Thanksgiving. It's 9 homeless families at my school, so I started a GoFundMe to help the 9 homeless families, and I'm just aiming to get them vouchers for glasses, gas cards, shoes, because my student, I noticed his shoes are too small, so I went and I bought him a pair of shoes. I bought him 2 pairs of shoes, and he has siblings, so I raise money from teachers at the school, and I was able to get $175, and I was able to buy him, his siblings, and his mom clothes, shoes, you know, backpacks, cold medicine, a whole bunch of toiletries, and I wanted to be a blessing to the other students there that are homeless. So I started a GoFundMe. So far, I got $1,115 in 10 days for that. And I also am starting a toy drive for all of the homeless families so that the kids can have a happy Christmas. I want them to have a joyous holiday. So that toy drive actually kicked off today, and I sent out the letters to the parents and everything, and I'm getting people from Facebook and Instagram to go give toys to the school. So I'm planning, like, on December 18th, I'm going to dress up as a Santa Claus and give the toys to the homeless kids and that family. Well, in the
okay.
Line. I've been busy the last week and a half, and like super busy trying to put that stuff together.
You know, I'm very proud of you, very excited to hear that, and certainly, we can certainly talk off the air at some point and talk about some other ways that I may make some suggestions for you.
Okay.
Just go ahead and tell us at this point in time, where do they go for if they want to make donations to your GoFundMe?
If you would like to make a donation to my GoFundMe, it is the link www.gofundme.com/helpmissmsbennett, B as in boy, ENNETT, and there you can read the story about what's going on at the school, what I'm aiming to do with the money to help the kids and their families. And it's like a really detailed thing. And about, I think, 15 other people gave donations. So my goal is $5,000 to be able to buy all of that stuff. And I can give it to them either before the Christmas break or after. But, you know, like right after. But I don't want to see anybody struggle. When I found that out, I was crying harder than the mom. I had to go to her. And I felt so bad.
Wow.
I was crying. And like she had to get out the car and give me a hug. So I was like, do I have any way to eat for Thanksgiving? And she said no, and I was like, well, you can come to my house, all 60 yards. Come to my house. You're going to make some food. Don't worry about the food. We'll just make extra. You're going to get some to-go plates for y'all. You know, so my family was really helpful and was able to help me be a blessing to them. So.
You know, I it's unfortunate that we didn't have a conversation prior to tonight's show, because had we had a conversation, I can tell you this with certainty. We would have made tonight's show an entire show about situations like that, homelessness. And I'm going to ask that you, maybe next week we can devote the entire show to something, come up with a topic. We'll do that exclusively for what you're trying to do. And I will definitely have some people on. We'll between the two of us, we can probably get some people that will come on the show and, you know, want to, explore this thing and get, you know, some bigger people out there and things that are interesting. You have 9 homeless families at your school?
Yeah, not 9 students, 9 homeless families. And
yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I noticed he kept leaving the school early. And I was like, what's up? Like, why are you leaving early? And she was like, we have to be at the shelter by a certain time. And if you're not there, we're going to lose our spot. We're not going to have nowhere to sleep. I'm about to cry.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. We're going to devote, between you and I, we'll talk probably tomorrow. And we'll come up with something that we can maybe find ways to even help some of those family members at your school. I mean, that's just taking a different spin on the show tonight. I really don't know.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's okay. I'm just so excited to hear that you are very much involved out there. And matter of fact, I've been looking for a project to undertake that I can do more in the communities. And here I am talking to you. You know, there are no accidents. God works things out in a certain way, because, you know, I want to be a part of your project here, you know, to help out. Yeah, I definitely want to be a part of that, and I will be talking to you about that. So all 6 of those people, the family, came to your house for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. All 6 of them, and they all ate real good, and they watched TV. And we just relaxed, and they got to know me on a deeper level than just being their teacher, you know? So they got to pick my dogs, and they got to watch my family and laugh and play with them and dance and stuff. So it was pretty good. And I was happy.
Wow.
And I saw the clothes and the shoes that I bought them. and I was really excited.
I'm excited. Just say this. It touches my heart, and it makes me really want to do something out there. All right, we're going to go now. We're going to try as best we can to pull ourselves together and go to tonight's show. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. I'm joined this evening by my featured guest. My co-host, Miss J. And tonight's topic is, can a woman do without a man? You know, oftentimes we hear that men need a woman. You know, men, you know, they're always looking for a woman to have by their side. But now the question becomes, and so many women, I've heard this even personally myself, to say that I can really do without a man. And, you know, that comes, I don't know where it really comes from, but I've also heard women talk about the fact that they say, well, I can do bad all by myself. Well, that goes both ways. A man can do all bad by himself and as well as a woman. But to actually say, you know, to ask the question, can a woman do without a man? Let's just say after that woman has her kids, can she really do, and she's making the money. Let me pose it to you, Miss J, and just ask you. Let's speak about you personally. I know that you have a fiancé, but let me ask you, do you feel you can do without a man? And after you give your personal account to the degree of what you want to give, then what have you heard women actually say, oh, I can do without a man?
Personally, I feel like people say they can do without a man, but it's like naturally and humanly you want that companionship. You want somebody to talk to. You want somebody to love, like, on a deeper level. So I feel like I think people that say that went through a lot of hard relationships and went through some things with a specific type of man they keep going back to, and that's why they feel that kind of way. But I feel like when you meet somebody that truly is for you, that God sent to you, then you would enjoy and cherish that, and you won't necessarily say, I don't need a man. Like, I feel like I don't need certain people in my life, but I would want a companion. You know, I would want a friend, a best friend, you know, and I would want that in the opposite sex, somebody I can love to that degree.
Right.
But I've heard people say that, but only when they're mad or salty that somebody else is happy and got something going on. But I don't need a man. And it's like, okay, you don't. You got it. You know, that's on you. But in my case, I'm like, I'm just chill over here with my boo, you know.
Right.
So it depends. But I think that, you know, everybody needs that companionship to that degree. Unless you're just one of those special people who don't find anybody attractive at all. And then, you know, you just kind of don't need a man.
Well, you know, I've actually met and heard several women who have, and they were hurt, some of them at the time when they said it, and then some of them were not hurt. They were in a situation where they were doing what they felt they were doing okay by themselves. And so what happened, you know, they would take this attitude that, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I don't have to have a man. So, you know, I'm one who prone to believe that out of the mouth comes blessings and curses. And I can recall very vividly a friend of mine even saying, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I've heard her say this over and repeatedly. And so one day it became true. She didn't have a man for years. And, you know, she called me up one day several years ago and said, you know, I don't understand. Why can't I find a man? Why can't I get a man? It's the hardest thing to have a man. And now she's getting older and she wants a companionship, like you said. And she was crying on the phone. Why would God do this to me? Why can't I find a man? And so I reminded her. I asked her, I said, would you mind if I share something with you that you said for years over and repeatedly? And she says, no, go ahead. And she's sobbing over the phone. And I say, I remember the number of times that you spoke this to me, and I don't know how many other people you said it to, but you said you don't need a man, and you don't have to have a man, and that you could do without a man. And I believe that over these years that now you want a man, God has granted you your wish, that you didn't want a man, didn't need a man, and you didn't have to have a man. She said, I said that. I said, yes, for years.
Mm-hmm. You said
and she said, oh, I am so sorry that I ever said that. And do you know, I mean, that's probably been 15 years, and she still, to this day, does not, as far as I know, does not have a man. And I think she's just one lonely older woman, one lonely older woman that companionship, that love, someone to hold, like you said. And so, but people don't realize out of your mouth comes blessings and curses. So what do you think of that particular story?
I feel like you get what you ask for a little bit. Because if you say that repeatedly over and over and over again, I don't think it might be God just like, okay, well, fine, this is not what you want. But if she didn't even realize she was saying it to you, she could have been saying it to potential mates. She could have been she could have had that mindset in her head for so long that whoever did come to her, she didn't see in that light. She just kind of brushed it off and kept pushing away each man without knowing she was pushing away each man. And then when she realized, I have nobody to share my happiness with, I have nobody to talk to at night, I have nobody to just go out and go have fun during the day, and I have nobody to sit here and just reminisce on what we've done in the past couple of years, that's when you want a man. And it's like, oh, wow, I feel empty a little bit. So she probably got it from there, but didn't realize that she was just saying it over and over and over again and just kind of brush people off, you know, unconsciously.
Okay. All right. We have, I've invited someone also to the show, and we were waiting for them to press 1 on their dial so that we can cue them in. And we haven't seen that take place yet. It's Evangelist Shirley that was going to be our future guest, but I haven't seen, they haven't cued me to let me know that she's coming in. Evangelist Shirley, if you're listening, you have to press 1 to speak that they can cue you in so we'll know that you're there. All right, so, you know, going to this lady who did make that statement, it saddens my heart. It really does because, you know, I mean, I think that there are other ways that people can actually hurt themselves by their statement. So it's not only hurting yourself, but just imagine the words when you say things, negative things and thoughts to people, and they receive this into their spirit, how that affects them as well. And so we're going to go to the story shortly. And this story I would like everyone to really listen to and then to be able to comment on that. But can a woman do without a man? I would hope not. You know, from the man's perspective, I would certainly hope that a woman would not feel that she can do without a man. And if she utters those words to say, I don't need a man, I certainly hope and trust and pray that she would find a way to recant those words and apologize to particularly for saying that very thing, that I don't need a man, because your blessings, I mean, you can actually, it'll come. It can come right at you. It can come right at you. And I don't think that people will like that because they don't realize what they're doing to themselves. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, just before we go on, tell our listening audience once again about your GoFundMe. We'll do that about 4 times throughout the show and let them know where they can contact you to make their contributions.
Well, thank you. That's a shock. Oh, wow. So my GoFundMe is to help the 9 homeless families that go to my school. And I want to be able to raise money to give them gas cards, to give them prepaid hotel stays so they don't have to stay in a shelter and take their kids out early from school to go look for shelters. Gift cards to Walmart, clothes, shoes for school and shoes for play, vouchers to go get glasses from America's Best, anything like that. And on my GoFundMe has everything that I would like to do for these children. The GoFundMe is www.gofundme.com/helpmissbennett, and it's HelpMissBennett. You can go on my Facebook. My name is Jada Bennett, JAIDA space B as in boy, ENNETT, and it is there on my Facebook as well. You can also find me on Instagram using my name, Jada Bennett.
All right, then we have it. That's very good. Thank you for sharing that. Let's get ready. Let me bring in Evangelist Shirley. She's scheduled to be our featured guest. Ms. Jay, go ahead and say hello, Evangelist Shirley.
Hello there, everyone. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Good to hear you. I've been listening to the comments you made, and I like the idea as well about your GoFundMe page for the people you are assisting and helping out down there. I thank God for that. That's a worthy cause.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Evangelist Shirley, a little bit about yourself, yes. And we're going to get right into the story momentarily. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in Massachusetts. I was in Florida a couple of days ago, and I'm looking forward to the show and just everything that's happening on today. I'm evangelist at my church, and just trusting God to work this all out and to assist in what this what a woman, if a woman can do without a man. But I'm waiting to hear your scenario so that I can hear that. But I heard the comments that you both made, and I think they both are great. And there are some other things as well. Amen.
Okay. We're going to go right to the story. At this time, I'm going to ask both of you all to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight's characters in our story, Can a Woman Do Without a Man?, Elaine and Frank. Now, Elaine and Frank have known each other for the past 12 years. They started dating 8 years ago and were married shortly thereafter. Elaine is 27 and Frank is 31. Elaine holds an MBA from a prominent college, while Frank dropped out of college in the first year and works as an auto mechanic. They have two sons, the ages 4 and 6. Unfortunately, the last 2 years have not been favorable for this. In fact, they're now talking divorce because Elaine is fed up and has repeatedly said to Frank that she can do without a man in her life. Frank takes offense to this statement and is simply tired of hearing this from her over and repeatedly. Now, perhaps one of the reasons Elaine feels this way is because she has expressed on numerous occasions the following. It's not that Frank is doing anything wrong in her eyesight. She just feels that she has outgrown him because she's, you know, in the know now. She's arrived, as some would say. She's highly educated and successful because she works as a manager making over $80,000 annually, while Frank makes only $45,000 a year. Elaine feels that she is carrying the load financially and with the two children. Although Frank is very involved with his children, he helps out around the house as well with household chores. Elaine is extremely beautiful. I mean, when I tell you extremely beautiful, she's knockout. She's a real knockout. She's gorgeous. And she's pleasant to the eyes for most men to see and feels that she can have any man that she desires. Now, the fact of the matter is she insults Frank by telling him that his job is beneath her, is actually beneath her standards, she says, and he lacks the education to actually keep up with her. Furthermore, she continues her insults by telling him that her money is her money and not to be equally shared with him. She does not want counseling and simply wants Frank to move out of their home. Frank, on the other hand, is very much in love with Elaine and has tried to the best of his ability to make things work. It's not like he's done anything wrong to cause her to feel this way. He just simply can't understand why she's so hard on him. And she even has him sleeping in a separate bedroom. And the brother just can't figure out anything. And the children are looking at them strangely. Now, the question is that we start out tonight. Michelle, I'm going to start out with you by asking this question. Is that likely to happen to men because they marry a drop-dead gorgeous woman?
No, I feel when you were saying that story, in my head, I'm like, it sounds like she's cheating. Because that's all I can think about. Like, she's cheating. That's what she's cheating. Because she knew when she married. She knew that she had a education than him when she married him. She knew that she would probably be the breadwinner when it came to the jobs because of her education. So it's like, you are okay with this, and all of a sudden, oh, you gotta sleep in a whole other room. Oh, you're beneath me. I can have anybody I want. She's saying that because she has anybody she wants. So this came out of nowhere. I feel like she probably met somebody. It is not such a, oh, I don't need a man, and she don't want that man because she probably found somebody better. So I feel like in that case, she just belittling and degrading him. That's not right. Nobody should do that to anybody. First of all,
well, what
if
you
know what you're doing, what happened?
Well, what do you think, Miss Jay? Let me ask you this, and then we'll go to Evangelist Shirley. Let me ask you this. In a case like that where the man, she can't point out anything that he's done, but she feels that his job is beneath her, that he's even beneath her, what if you had a girlfriend like Elaine, what would you tell her? And, I mean, you really loved your girlfriend. This is really your friend. What would you tell her?
I would honestly ask her if she met somebody. And she told me yes, and I'm like, that's why you feel this way, and that's why, because the other person has everything you think that matches you, you feel like your husband is not beneath you. But if she tells me no, I would say, you know, y'all have kids, and you need to figure this out, and you knew what you was getting into. What is it that he can do to help out more, or what can you help him to do? Can you help him go to school? Like, you know, my mom, for instance, when my dad had to go back to school, my mom went online school with him and for him. Whenever he couldn't do the paper for whatever reason, when he was at work, she would do it. So I feel like it's a joint effort. You're supposed to make each other better. And if all she can do is nitpick and not help out, then she is beneath him too in that sense. Y'all are a couple.
Wow.
You need to help each other.
That is heavy. Evangelist Shirley, let's shift gears and let's go over to you. Do you think that Frank is just in a corner over there loving this woman and she's not loving him back?
Well, I too feel like there may be someone else in the picture. And my thought is when they were together, you said 14 years and married for 8.
Those
14 years. I'm sorry?
Yeah, 14 years
old, you're
right.
Yes, and those years, they were growing together. And then after, you know, she got a little better in her job position and her finances, then she felt like he wasn't good enough for her. And I, too, feel like Miss J, that she may have met someone else and thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And she feels like that she can do better than him. But they have children to consider, and that's what I'm looking at. They have the children there. They've done this for 14 years of their life. He's committed and she's committed, 14 years of their lives together. And now she wants to break that apart, which I, too, believe is just not right. But when they got together, it's something that she thought at that point that she did need a man, and God made us that way, that we would. Women are wired. They're just wired that way to have a man. They're just made like that. And the Word of God tells us that they are and that we are, because when he made man and woman back in the book of Genesis, he let them know that he created man in his own image. And then he made male and female, created he them. That's what the Word of God says in the first chapter of Genesis. And when they came together as man and woman, she was satisfied with whatever he was doing and however, you know, the money was coming in and how they were with each other. And also when I said that statement of that every woman is wired or made for a man, that is so true. No matter where she goes or what she thinks, what Elaine thinks, she may be making the money now, but she's going to get to a point where she may something may happen to her and she's going to need someone to fall back on. And two, when she gets older, she's going to realize that she's going to be a woman by herself and she's going to really want that. That's what happens in a lot of relationships. People decide that they don't want to be with someone. But then after a while, you know, they realize that they need that person. A lot of people go out and get pets, you know, because they want that warm body next to them, you know, in the bed. And they just do that. But also when I said woman was made, she was the Lord took Adam's rib and he, you know, put him to sleep, took his rib and then put it into woman. And Adam was very happy about that because everybody else had a mate. It was time for Adam to have a mate. And I thank God for that. He said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And he called her a woman. You know, she's a part of him. Women are a part of men. And she didn't realize and don't realize that she's going to need Frank at some point in time. And whoever she's looking at, like Miss J had said, if she's looking somewhere else, you know, that just may be, you know, a one-night thing, you know, or something that will only last a few months. Then she's going to want to come back to Brother Frank there. And Brother Frank might not, you know, he might say, well, you know, Sister Elaine here, we've had, you know, our thing and you walked away from it. Now, you know, it's not going to be like it used to be. And to me, that's not good. It's really not good. It's not good for Frank. He's going to be messed up and he may turn and not want to be bothered with another woman in his life at all because of the way Elaine treated him after 14 years of them sacrificing together.
I think that's a very interesting. But I want to ask a question to both of you all, and then I want to pose something about Elaine's beauty. But the question I want to ask to you all is, and let's start with you, Ms. J, first. And the question is, are you all saying that children are a reason to stay together? Because we have an upcoming show about that. Are children a reason to stay together? So I want to ask both of you all that question. Let's start with Ms. J first. So should he consider staying there because of the children, Ms. J?
Children aren't a reason to stay together. Like, you don't want to raise children to see volatile actions or let your children grow up thinking that these broken relationships are life and that's the way it's supposed to be, because your children are going to grow up and do the same thing they see you doing. So if the relationship really is bad, yes, consider the children, but you need to let them know, like, it has nothing to do with them. This is something between the parents. And it just didn't work out. And let them know, like, look, it's not your fault. But the children should be considered, but that should not be the only deciding factor to keep you with your person. No.
Okay, Evangelist Shirley, let's move on to you briefly because we got some other thoughts that are coming in here.
Okay. Children, they should make sure that the children are reared, and the Word of God tells us to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But children are important to me in a relationship. When you bring children into the world, they are to be nurtured. Children, it bothers them. It stunts their growth to a point when parents divorce or, you know, separate from each other. Children can't deal with that because they feel like it's their fault, you know, that something happened with mommy and daddy, and that tears them apart, you know. But you, I think it's important that they try, for the children's sake, if not stay together, to be as involved as they can in those children's lives, to make them feel like it's not their fault that we're not together, you know, and that we do love you. Mommy and daddy loves you. We just can't be together. But I think it's important that the children know that and know that they're loved by both parents.
All right. Well, that's an interesting thought. Now, I want to come back to my next question, and that is, you know, we talked about her beauty, Elaine's beauty. I mean, she is absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, is it? I've known women who are attractive that feel, you know what, so many men are approaching me that, you know, I have such a pick. And here she is. She's 27. Perhaps she doesn't realize that beauty fades, can fade, but it's only in the eye of the beholder if you grow gracefully with someone. So she's not obviously at that stage in her life, but she feels that she rests with her beauty, feeling so confident that, you know what, any man will want me because I'm gorgeous. So how do you feel about that? Let's start with you, Evangelist Shirley, and ask that question. Why would a woman like Elaine rest on her beauty to carry her throughout life, and she's only 27?
Well, let me just give you what the scripture says about that. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So Elaine is young, and someone has told her, and she's looked in the mirror, and so Frank has told her as well, that she is beautiful. But beauty, it comes from the inside, not just the outside. You have to be beautiful inside, and then it will come out on the outside. You can be physically the ugliest person in the world, but if you have that beauty in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit and how you carry yourself and handle yourself, you will be beautiful on the outside. So beauty is, like the song said, beauty's only skin deep, and that truly is, especially in Elaine's situation, because she's looking in the mirror to see how beautiful she is. She's not looking at her heart and what she's doing to her husband and her family and how they're feeling about this, you know, and she's thinking that anybody in the world would want her. A lot of men would not want her, you know, because of her conceit and her vain conceit. A lot of men wouldn't want a woman like that. You know, and some would, but that's her way of thinking. And but beauty can be gone in a flash; it really can.
And you know, before I bring Miss Jay in to give her contribution on that very question, you know, there are men. I mean, men want something, and I'm not trying to speak for all men, but when you hear that circle, when you're in that circle, and men are talking, they're looking for that woman with body. They're looking for that woman that's pleasant to the eyes. And listen, when the woman is really drop dead gorgeous, a lot of men, they're thinking, you know, from another perspective, and they're looking at that beauty of that woman and desiring her because she is so beautiful. But wise men, I believe that those wise men know the difference. And because they know that, you know, this might be, if the woman's personality, like what you're saying earlier, is of such, those men want to run far away because of beauty. And I've heard some women who are attractive say that they feel that their beauty has been a curse for them. And so because it comes with, it seems, with some penalties for them. And in some cases, it's hard for them to get a man. But I like what you said earlier about the beauty comes from within. But let me tell you something. It's hard for, I think, a number of men that perhaps don't haven't reached that level of wisdom, I think it's hard for them to see a woman who's drop-dead gorgeous and not salivate after that woman, and that's putting it mildly. But the wise man knows that, you know what, beauty is skin deep, and beauty fades. And, you know, and I hate to put these ladies out there, but, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I hate to put them out there, and I'm just going to throw this out there because I don't know them personally. But you take a woman like Holly Berry, that in the circle a lot of men have talked about, her beauty. But I understand that Holly Berry has been married about 3 times. And I'm not, because I don't know the particulars of it, I'm not putting it out there. Yeah. But men begin to now speculate and wonder, okay, well, what's up with her? You know, is it all the men? Is it all the men? And in a man's mind, he begins to say, well, no, you know, that's just something pleasant to look at. And then turn your head, but you don't want to take that home. You don't want to be bothered. And I'm not demeaning her or judging her because I don't know her personally. And then Mariah Carey is another one. You know, you say, well, what's up with her? Could it be the men? You know, Elizabeth Taylor went through it 7 times. You know, what's up with her? You know, could it be the men? You know, so, I mean, these are the things that you begin to wonder. And I'm like, I mean, me as a man, I'm saying, okay, you know, 3 times married, I'm like, I'm not even trying to knock on your door because, you know, I mean, seriously, let's bring Miss J in. Miss J, you know, even though tonight's story is topic is, can a woman do without a man? And so let me ask that question. And that question clearly is her beauty. I mean, this girl, Elaine, is drop dead gorgeous. She's 27, you know. It's like these guys are bowing down to her, and Frank is no different. He's caught up with her beauty and in love with her. So is there any hope for Frank even?
Oh, I'm going to call
Ann, I know you're going to keep it real and raw.
Yeah, like, I feel like she's a shallow, evil wench.
Wow. Okay.
I think that somebody who relies on their beauty, it's pathetic. And you can know you're pretty. That's one thing. Like, I know I'm beautiful, but I'm not going to go around and flaunt it. I'm not going to go around and say, oh, I can have anybody I want. Who cares about having anybody you want? But did you find the one, though? Like, you can have anybody you want, but nobody cares about that. Or do you find somebody that actually matches you and can, you know, make you go to a higher level? But the fact that she's resting on her beauty, you can have that job you're making good money at. Yeah, you can have the kids, the dream husband. But at the end of the day, if all you can see is your beauty, then you're not truly happy. And that's something that she has to live with. And that is really, really pathetic. And I'm in need for her husband to get it together and stop acting like, you know, beauty is everything, because beauty is only skin deep. So if he is caught up on how beautiful she is, then he's pathetic too. And maybe he deserves to be in a position.
Maybe he deserves what?
I said maybe he deserves to be in that position if he's so caught up on her beauty and keep taking her.
Let me ask you all this question, and I got to throw it out there because I know my listening audience would like to know this. And Evangeline, sure, we're going to start with you first, and I got to ask this question. What if your man saw a woman like Elaine who's drop-dead gorgeous and she's simply just walking by, and he was mesmerized by her beauty, and he couldn't help himself by staring, and his head is just following her walk, and he temporarily is insane because he forgets that you're there. Temporarily, I said, and he's just watching her as she walks because he's mesmerized by this angel, what looks like an angel on earth, walking by. How would that make you feel, Miss Shirley, and what action, if any, would you take against that man?
I wouldn't take any action. because if she was drop dead gorgeous, I would probably look at her myself and watch what he's looking at and say, wow, she is beautiful, isn't she? That's how I would look at it. If he did do something like that, if, you know, if I, you know, my man or whoever, you know, was with me and see this gorgeous woman going by, women look at women, too, not to be with them, but women can admire another woman looking at her and saying, you know, oh, she really looks good and she's really wearing that outfit. I mean, women do that. So I would look as well, you know, but see, my consolation would be that he's on my arm, so I wouldn't have to worry about is he going to follow her home, you know, because looking, you know, anyone can look, you know, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything by looking. It's when you go into the act, you know, especially if you lusting after something that the Word of God says. If you lusting, you looking and you lusting, and that's a sin. But if he's just looking and I'm with him, then that's okay. I'm going to look too. I might admire what she have on, you know, and figure I can wear something like that. You know, to me, I'm not, you know, superficial like that, and I don't look at other women to probably hit my man upside the head and say, why are you looking at her? I know, not that kind of thing. Women admire other women, you know, and how they carry themselves and how they dress, you know. It's just something that women do. You know, a woman, you know, would do that.
Right. But now she is so pleasant. And Ms. Davis, just before I bring you in, she is so pleasant to look at. And in that man's, in your man's mind, he may be fantasizing, and of course he's not going to admit to that, but he it's likely that he is fantasizing, because if he takes the initiative to, and I use the word stare at a woman, even though it's maybe a temporary insanity moment, if he takes that initiative to stare at that woman, there's a good likelihood he's desiring something of her, to hold her as a trophy piece on his arm until perhaps he gets to know her. But there's clearly something that mesmerizes that man and brings out the animalistic behavior. You know, there's a possibility. And if they perhaps tell you something differently, and in my field of human science and theocentric psychology, and not saying that I'm right about every situation, but it's highly unlikely, because they're going to go home in often cases and be mesmerized by that woman's beauty. And they're not going to share that with you, but you can rest assured that some guy, friend of theirs, if it's a close friend, man, I saw the most, let me tell you something, man, this girl was, heaven was missing the angel, because she was right here on earth. I saw her myself. And so he's telling that guy friend, he's like, really, man, what's she have? He know everything she has on. You know, down to the shoes. It's not just women are observing like that. Men can be, too, when they're mesmerized. Miss J, let me bring you in here and pose the same one. You know, your man. You know, it's a temporary. Now, remember, and I got to keep it real, it's a temporary insanity situation. He didn't have intentions of disrespecting you. I got to make it as nice as I can, Miss J, because I know you will take off the gloves and you will just put a hole in a wall. When you
honestly,
and so, well, I'm thinking here, if he temporarily, he couldn't help himself. She walked by, you're there, and matter of fact, you're saying something to him, you know, talking about, could be the weather, but he hasn't heard a word you said because he's just lost in her beauty. So, Miss Jane, but he didn't mean to disrespect you. He has all love for you, and he's not trying to follow her, definitely, while you're not with him. I mean, while you're with him. So how would that make you feel, and what action, if any, might you take?
Honestly speaking, 9 out of 10 times, if somebody is beautiful, I spotted them first, and I'm telling him, oh, look at her. She is gorgeous. I'm that kind of person. I'm very confident in who I am. I know my strong point. I know I look good. I don't have to worry about him mesmerized over somebody else. And truth be told, we do go out. And I can appreciate a beautiful woman. I don't want to get with it, but I can appreciate A beautiful woman with a nice face, a nice waist, a nice, I love it. It looked beautiful. And I could, yes, for the curves. Yes, for the hair. You wearing that weave, like that makeup is awesome. I can say all of that. And I have gone to women in front of him and said, excuse me, but your figure is beautiful. I love your booty. It is huge. I want to be.
Wow.
And I.
Wow.
The man move. Can I touch it? Is it real? Girl, how you get your booty like that? You got like, they said, oh, I'm doing the squat.
I told you, Evangeline Shirley, I told you she would take off gloves and put a hole in the, when she come back at you. I just know it. Somebody to say that they would go up to the man, to the woman, and say, girl, how you get your booty like that? I mean, that's taking the gloves off, putting a hole in that brick wall.
He told me last week, because it was this woman with the nicest thighs ever and a little tiny itty-bitty waist, and I was like, oh, my God, your legs are amazing. T-Mobile, like, your legs are amazing. He was like, man, leave that to the man. Like, why are you always complimenting a woman? And I was like, look, why do women have to wait for a guy to compliment them? At that point, it's sexual. But if I go and compliment the woman and tell you, you look good, no.
Yes.
Tell me my thighs look good. Tell me my calves look nice. Tell me my breasts are perky. Like, tell me something that's specific.
Yes.
So if another woman says it, it's more real, because a guy doesn't want to give it to you, but a woman's like, does she want to give me? Just like me. I'm important to that. I'm going to be looking good. So I have no problem with that. If I see if she is fine, Ryan, look over there, 10 o'clock. Look at it. She's beautiful.
Yes.
We'll find her. Okay.
And then how long does he look?
he act like him see, out of respect, but I'm like, Ryan, I'm telling you, no, look at it over there. Let's go compliment. Let's go get it. Okay, let's go tell her she's good.
Miss Jay, let me share something with you. While you pointing her out to him, he's already seen her.
I know he did.
He saw that girl before you pointed her out. And then for you, so when you acknowledge the fact that you want him to look, he has already seen her size up.
I'm pretty sure he already saw it, but I'm the one that I turn around. I'd be like, damn. I turn around.
Okay.
And then he just like, can you walk forward? Like, nah, you see that. So it's the same thing with men. Like, he knows. I don't care. You can look. You going to fantasize about it. I don't care. Because I know for sure if I see a fine chocolate man walking across me, I'm about to look all kind of ways. I'm about to glance. I'm about to look at the pants. I'm about to look at it all. Take it all.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to back this up for a second, because we cannot just let this that. Hold on. Let me give Miss Jay a moment to just cool off for a second, because I know her hand was.
I had to stop taking my weave out. I'm like, whoa.
Evangeline Shirley, let me go to you just for a second. Are you telling me then you see this drop-dead gorgeous man, and then your man is with you, and I know indiscreetly you've seen him, you know what color socks he has on when his pants are hanging off his shoes. You already done researched that. So are you going to disrespect your man and just stare?
That's not disrespect.
It's not.
If you look at a man, you can look. A man, I like a man that dresses and wears his suits, and, I mean, just Mr. Esquire. A man looks good when he's dressed, and, you know, that looks good to me. And there's nothing wrong with looking. You know, I'm not going to, it's not disrespect, because I'm not going to sit there and drool, you know, but I can look just like he can look at a woman that looks good, you know. And I too am like Miss J. I will say to her, girl, you know, you rocking that, you know, and looking good. I will tell her. I won't say that to a man, but I will look.
Right.
You know,
right,
I will look and see what he has on, and yes, I like his shoes. I would tell, you know, my man, I like his shoes. They look good. Oh, I like the suit, how he's wearing it. I would say that. Yes, I would, but I would, you know. So, yes, we will. We should, you know, this man. disrespect.
Right, I understand.
Really,
I get
me.
It. Miss Jane, let me bring you back in now. I know you done put something on your hand by now. So let me bring you back here. But that don't stop you, and I know it doesn't. So, Miss Jane, let me ask you, are you going to just stare that man down, and then would you likely go home to your fiancé and say, you know that man we saw in the mall with the three-piece suit on, and he had the burgundy tie, and then he had the blue shirt, and he had the yellow socks, and then the tan shoes. I mean, you got him down to a, you know, to a science.
See right there?
Okay.
Not,
go ahead, Miss Jay. Bring it, Miss Jay.
I'm lying. I'm going to admire God's work. You know I will. Like, yes, for the touch. Yes. I'm going to look at it. But I would not go home and say, oh, remember that guy with the gray shirt that wore the gray sweatpants?
Yeah, you don't do that.
No, at that point, you're just, now that's just being disrespectful, you know.
Okay,
but,
that's all I do.
So if your fiance, Miss Jane, we're going to stay with you for a moment. If your fiance, the woman who he's already seen before you told him to look, he says to you, he said, oh, by the way, remember that lady who had on the tan coat and she had on kind of a, you know, a low kind of blouse, that blue blouse? I was thinking about getting you one of those. He's justifying for having looked so in her cleavage. And now he's saying, you know, and she had on the short mini, kind of mini skirt. Like, would you like one of those?
You don't have to justify the outfit. If you like her body, you like her body. You see the titties. You see the boobs. You like the boobs. It's okay. I'm not about to get mad at you. Buy me that shirt, too. I would look just like it in it. Get it for me. You know?
That's
wow.
Right.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
Okay.
Chances are I don't already admire one, the outfit, two, the person that's in the outfit, three, the hair, the makeup, the style. I look at it, and I'm probably wondering,
right,
where did she get the outfit? I want to look like that. How many squats I got to do to get that butt? Like, what I got to do to look like that, you know?
And, you
so
know, I
want to
say this. Go ahead, Missy.
That's it.
I do want to say this. I admire you all, honesty, and the fact that you all both are not insecure in who you are in terms of complimenting, you know, a woman like you do. And because I, even as a man, I have no problem with telling a gentleman, oh, man, that tie is really looking good on you, or that suit. Where do you buy your suit? You know, and stuff like that. And I think it's admirable because, you know, I just like women watch women, men, and I know you're watching them not with the intent for any ulterior motive, but admiration for maybe something they wear or the hairdo or something like that. So yourself, you know, in some way or something, or making some alteration. And believe it or not, women are also watching you that have probably approached both of you all to ask things. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. Absolutely.
Well, I'm certain. It goes both ways. And certainly I've gone up to guys and, even sometimes when I watch the news, I will tell them, I'm sitting there with my wife and I say, listen, I like that color that he has on. And then if I see one of the news, the ladies on there, I'll ask my wife, do you like that dress? And it's not really looking it with lustful eyes, like you said, Evangelist Shirley. It's not with the lustful eyes. It's an outfit that I wouldn't mind buying my wife. So if I see something on there, she'll say, oh, no, I have that dress. I already have that. Or either I'll say, don't you have a dress like this? And she'll say, yeah, I have one that color. It looks like that. But it has nothing for me. It has nothing to do with admiring the woman. It's maybe an outfit that I'm looking on. Because I do the same thing with the guys on there. I'll call my wife and say, you like that tie or you like that haircut he has or that suit or that combination. And sure enough, either she'll get me that tie, or I'll go out and get it myself. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But to actually, like you say, to stare, and then coming back to tonight's show, kind of woman, I would certainly hope that women don't get to the point where they curse themselves by saying that they can do without a man, because I think God placed us here for each other. So,
Mr.
give you the final. Final word is my co-host, but let me go to Miss J and just get her thought. And Miss J, Evangelist Shirley, any final word to those that are listening out here to the broadcast tonight on just giving them some wisdom in about 30 seconds or less. Can a woman, should she have this in her mind, even though she may be beautiful, that she doesn't need a man? A 30-second kind of like thought.
Well, a woman can say that, and she may even feel that. But within her, that's not true. She will, at some point in her life, need to be with a man, to have a man in her life. No matter what she's saying right now, she will need to have a man in her life. And when she gets one, remember, ladies, to just be that queen that God has called you to be. We are royalty. He says that we are royal priestess, and so we're royalty, chosen generation. And I thank God for that, that women, you can live without a man, but God made you to be with one. And that is his order that he created on this earth from the beginning of time.
All right, and I appreciate that note. Ms. J, as my co-host, we're giving you the final word. Tell your listening audience out there who may be listening, you know, tell them what your thoughts are.
When it comes to that, I feel like that, but I feel like a lot of people say that when they're angry or when they're upset or when they're dealing with a specific type of man and they keep going for the same screw up and not going out of their comfort zone. So that's where that mindset might come from. But they can play that game for quite a while, but they're going to wake up one day and realize they have nobody to share their assets with, no memories to be shared, no fun dates to go on. They're going to wake up lonely. It's going to be too late because now they already put that out there to everybody without knowing it. How the first person you said that she was crying and realized she was screaming, I need a man, I need a man. And sure enough, no man came her way. So I feel like women should, if you think that you don't need a man, it's the type of man you're dealing with. And also, please give to my GoFundMe for the homeless students at my school. The GoFundMe link is GoFundMe.com/helpMissBennett. MSB as in boy, ENNETT. It's also on my Facebook and my Instagram at Jada Bennett, JADABENNETT. And that's what I think.
All right. Listen, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank both of you all. Those that we weren't able to get to, we wanted to stay. The producer was telling me we've got to stay with this tonight and keep it going. Evangelist Shirley, please join us again next week. When our topic will be, should you live with someone before marriage? No, I'm sorry. They're just reminding me we're going to change that because we're going to do a live show for Miss J's benefit. We're going to come up with a topic, and I will come up with one, and then we're going to carry that for the entire show. We'll come up with a good topic for that. They're just reminding me of that now. But Miss Evangelist Shirley, we're going to ask that you join us next week. Would you be able to do so?
I will join you. Amen.
Okay.
I will join you.
Yes, and promote it because we're hoping to have a very big show for Miss J next week. And Miss J, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on here giving your thoughts and reviews. And I want you to know, between you and I, we'll come up with a topic for next week's show. You good with that?
Yes, I'm great with that, actually. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you. Okay, on that note, we're clearly out of time. And so we'll have the topic for you all. Look at the website, drjessiewalkerinc.com, to see what the next week's topic will be. All right, join us tomorrow for your half-hour inspiration program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow's programming, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God.